Let's go and take our Bible tonight, open to the book of John, chapter 17. John, chapter 17. If I sound a little, my voice sounds a little bit different to you, I'm just getting over a little bit of a cold, but we'll work our way through that. So, John, chapter 17. What I'm going to do tonight is something I don't think I have consciously done before, is to bring a message that I have brought once before. I think I have brought this message either in this on a Sunday night here, or maybe it was on a Sunday night for neighborhood Bible time. I can't remember for sure. But in light of what Pastor has been speaking to us on over the last several weeks, different prayers from the Bible, I felt that it was appropriate again to bring this message as we look at what the Lord had prayed for us, for those of us who are His own. So let's look together, and we're going to read through John chapter 17, the entire chapter. So if you'll stick with me here, we'll read this, and then we'll have a word of prayer together. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's us. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you love us and that, Lord, you are intimately concerned about us. And Heavenly Father, We thank You that You have sent Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world to be our Savior. And that You loved us so much and You were concerned about us so much that You wanted to rescue us out of our sin through Your Son, Jesus Christ. And Heavenly Father, we thank You that because of Jesus Christ, we can have that restored, that renewed relationship with You. And that, Lord, that we can come to You in prayer because, Lord, of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And Heavenly Father, I pray that now as we look at what Jesus prayed for us, that our hearts would be challenged, that our hearts would be encouraged. As, Lord, as we enter into His prayer closet and again see what He prayed specifically for us. So, Lord, I pray now, Lord, that You know all of our hearts that are here. You know hearts that are hurting. Lord, You know hearts that are struggling. Lord, You know hearts that need encouragement. Lord, You know hearts that Lord, need to persevere. You know, Lord, hearts that need to be made right with You. And I pray that, Lord, through Your Word tonight, that, again, You would meet the need of each heart. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Several years ago, I had the privilege of going to a man's house, and a man who was very sick, and at that point we didn't know whether or not he was going to die. And he actually asked the deacons and the pastors of the church to come over and pray with him. And so we came and prayed with him, and he asked about the anointing of the oil, and we did that at his request. We took the time to pray with him. And then he took an opportunity to pray, and as he prayed, he said something that I would not forget. He thanked the Father for revealing to us the Son through every means, or revealing Himself to us through every means possible, through creation, through the Word of God, and then through the Living Word. And it was very instructive to hear this godly man who, and he's still living. The Lord has preserved him for several years now. But at that point, he didn't know whether he was going to live or die. And it was very instructive and very helpful to hear a godly man pray to the Lord. And it's one thing, and we've all heard that. We've heard godly people pray, and we've been instructed, we've been challenged, we've been encouraged. But again, it's another thing to come to the Word of God and then to hear what Christ prayed for us. If you're here tonight and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, as we look at this prayer, Christ prayed these things for you. Christ prayed this for me. And as we look at this tonight here in John chapter 17, what I want us to see from this section is that our Christian life, as we're going to see it in this passage, our Christian life was important enough for Christ to pray that in His last hours. And if it was something that was important enough to Him in that moment to take the time to pray about that for us, it is something that should be of utmost importance to us as believers as well. If your Christian life was important enough for Christ's final prayer, it should be important enough for your life's effort. Now, what about our Christian life? What was it that was so important that Christ prayed about it? And again, that's something that we should work earnestly towards. Four things we're going to look at tonight. The first one is this idea of keeping them together. Unity. Christ prayed, Lord, Father, keep them together. The idea of unity. If you look at verse 11, Christ says here, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father," and then Christ says, "Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." And then if you go down to verses 21 to 23, it says, "That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved me as thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me." Now again, the idea here, it's not, it's not this idea of bringing together all religions and together into one thing. But no, he's literally talking for true Bible believers who have trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior, who believe this book to be infallible and inspired, who believe that there is that triune God, who believe that salvation is through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. He said, for those who have believed on me, keep them together. Keep them unified as one. Amen. Christ asked his heavenly Father to guard, or as he said, keep the New Testament church together. In spite of its various personalities, temperaments, gifts, abilities, and levels of spiritual growth to function as a unified organism. The one danger, that faced the church at this point is the temptation among any organization when its leader departs is for fractions to begin, power grabbing to begin. And if you think about it, think about it in any church, you just think even in this room here, I haven't counted how many are here, but think how many diverse personalities there are. Think how many levels of spiritual growth there are. Think of all the different skills and abilities and talents and spiritual gifts. Think of how many type A and type B people there are. And Christ said, with all of that diversity, over all these Bible-believing churches that will, as Christ could see down the corridors of time, over the world, out of all that diversity, Father, help them to be unified. That there would not be infighting, that there would not be power grabbing, that there would not be selfishness, that there would not be bitterness. Keep them as one, as we are one. As much as we, try to wrap our minds, around the Trinity, and you've had your children or your grandchildren ask that. How can there be? As I drive my kids to school, I've had that question come from the back seat. How can there be three? There's three God and there's one. And I've had to say, we can't fully understand that, but that's what the Bible teaches. And if you look at the Trinity, there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and they work together as one. God says, keep them together as one, as we are one. Turn, if you will, go over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. And let's look up a little bit more at this diversity among unity. If you look at Ephesians chapter 4, you see both of these ideas here. It says, Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, going down to verse 13, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all, and here's one way we can keep that unity, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And again here, another key word we saw in John 17. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Again, now he's going to break out and again talk about this diversity. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Take a little side note there. For each one of you are here, you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. What that verse talks about there in verse 7, we are all given one spiritual gift, at least one spiritual gift, whereby we can benefit the church. Then he goes on in verse 8, and he says, wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it, but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And then it says, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the fullness, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He's all gifted us in different ways. And again, we won't get into these details tonight, but there are some gifts there that that were temporary gifts and some that continue on. But what he talks about, he's gifted all of us so, again, that we may build the church up. We may build one another up in unity. Now, if you look back at history, history affords many different illustrations of diverse people coming together to accomplish a particular goal. particularly like sports. So if you're a sports fan and you look back over history, you think of maybe something like my particular favorite, the 1976 Indiana Hoosiers. The only team still to this day that is undefeated in NCAA history, to go from wire to wire undefeated, 32-0. Sorry for your Illini fans. Or if you're a football fan, you think of the 72 Dolphins. You follow football and a team gets to, 8-0, 10-0, 14-0. What do they always talk about? Are they going to break the 72 Dolphins record? Are they, Okay? Or if you want to go even further, something a little closer to home, you think of the 95-96 Chicago Bulls. You think of all those teams going through. You think of 72-10. Or if you like something different, you think of business, like Microsoft. You've all seen that picture, right? Back in the 70s when it shows all the different people who work for Microsoft. And you're thinking, oh my goodness, these are the people now who are multi-billionaires and what have you. Or if you think of medicine, pick any emergency room that you want. Now, these are all human examples of people coming together and, again, working toward a common goal. But again, the Bible says that God brought the church together. All these diverse personalities, all these diverse talents, all these diverse skills. And God said, in the midst of all that diversity, keep them unified. Keep them together. Keep them unified. The question to ask yourself is, how are you as a believer? How are you currently functioning in this church? Are you working to that end, building one another up in unity and in love? Where is there, again, or is that idea, okay, what can I find for myself? Or maybe even worse still, again, maybe there's somebody in this room, in this church, somewhere, that if you were to, again, if you were to meet them in Walmart, or you were to meet them in Meijer, or you were to meet them in the post office, there wouldn't be that quick handshake, that quick hello, that quick, how are you doing? But it might be, oh, I hope they didn't see me. That's not unity. That's not unity. But Christ in his prayer in John 17 said, Lord, keep them together. Keep them as one, as we are one. So the first thing that he prayed for us as a church body was unity. Unity. Keep them together. Now let's go back to John chapter 17. And let's look at the second thing that he prayed for us. In John chapter 17, now we go to verse 15. He says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. But that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. The phrasing here, you've got people on both sides here. The idea is of, evil in general, or they supply a subject here, the evil one. And I think, I think you have both things here. Some people, if you look at it, they'll say, well, the devil made me do it. Okay? Well, you know what? There's enough within our hearts to tempt ourselves. But Christ, nonetheless, here said, keep them from the evil. Or keep them from the evil one. Not only did he pray for us about keeping them together, unity, but he also said, keep them pure. Purity. Keep them pure. Purity. We as believers, we are in a constant battle with the temptations to our flesh for sin. We're in, again, that constant temptation to sin and to disobey God. And sometimes it's our weak, evil nature that just very easily prompts us. And sometimes, again, it's also, again, Satan and his minions takes full advantage of our weak, sinful nature and even puts things before us. Christ said, keep them pure. Purity. Now, I don't know about you, but there is an event that's coming up here before too long. The world's finest chocolate. You guys remember all that? Every year at school? I don't know about you, but in our house, that is always a constant battle for us. Because you know what happens. All these boxes of chocolate come home. All these boxes of chocolate, if they don't get sold right away, or if you don't pre-sell them, or if you don't have some plan to get them out of your house, what happens to those boxes of chocolate? They sit there in your bedroom, they sit there in your living room, they sit there in your kitchen, and they call your name. And they say to you, you know what? It's only $2. But I don't have $2 right now. But you know what? You're getting paid this Friday. You can put the $2 in later. And before you know it, okay, fine. And so you get one of those big honking bars, which you probably really should only have half. And you munch, oh, that's so good. Oh, that crispy candy bar is so good. That chocolate with almonds is so good. And especially the candy bar that has the caramel in the middle, that is the best. Okay? All right. So you have temptations like that. But as we look at our lives, we have other temptations, don't we? Other temptations that come across our way. That person that at where you work, and they call you on the phone, and whether they're a coworker or they're a supervisor or they're a salesman or someone that you deal with on a regular basis, and as soon as they call you on the phone, you can just feel your skin wrinkle. You can just feel the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. You can just feel the tensions bubble up inside. And again, there's that temptation for anger, bitterness, evil thoughts. Or, again, someone's on the road and they cut you off. We've all had it happen to us. You know, there's the urge and the temptation. All right, let's see how you like it when I get up on your bumper. Okay. Or, as you're at home, and again, it's either what's on the television, or on the video, or on the internet, or in the magazine, or in the newspaper. It's just one look. It's just one story. I'll be okay. That kind of temptation. Or maybe it's something as simple as, well, I know I should be in the Word of God, and I know I should pray, but you know what? It is so hard to get up in the morning, or it's so hard to stay up late at night. Whatever that temptation is, what is it? Maybe it might be helpful to you, even on a piece of paper or something. Maybe just write down and just be honest with the Lord. Lord, this is my greatest temptation. It's anger. It's lust. It's bitterness. It is selfishness. It is covetousness. Tell the Lord what it is. He already knows. Say, Lord, I need your help. It is laziness. It is overeating. Whatever it is, tell the Lord. Be specific with Him. He already knows what it is. Let's look, if you will, over to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Over to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Just a couple verses here in the book of Romans just to bring this point home even further. It says in Romans chapter 8, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." And then look, if you will, also at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And you might say, Brother Jeff, we know this. We've read these things before. But how many of us don't do it? How many of us don't do it? We've read these verses before, we've memorized them for Awana, we've memorized them for Sunday school, we've memorized them for Bible school, but we don't do it. In Christ's earth, in his earthly prayer for us, He first of all prayed two things. He said, "Lord, keep them together. Keep them unified as a church body." And then He said, "Lord, secondly, keep them pure." Purity. Your Christian life was important enough for Christ's final prayer, and it should be important enough for our life's effort. Our life's effort in unity. Our life's effort in purity before God. Now, let's go back to John 17 and look at the third thing. look at verses 17 and 19. He says in verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. And then like it says every Sunday, thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And then in verse 19 he says, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Christ said, Lord, Father, as I pray for them now in this earthly prayer, I pray, keep them together, keep them unified. I pray, keep them pure, purity. And then he says, thirdly, keep them growing. Keep them growing. Sanctification. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Again, the words here, they're very simple. They're very straightforward. But again, it's packed with application for us. Our Lord prayed to the Heavenly Father that we as believers would become more holy. We would become more and more like our Savior on a daily basis through the Word of God. Now, this is the process that some of you may have heard before. This is the process called sanctification, but there's also another word we put with it. What kind of sanctification? Begins with a P. What? Say, progressive. Progressive sanctification. I did this in my Sunday school class the other day. The idea is that we talked a little bit about, we were looking at Matthew chapter, I think it's 25, again, the Lord and the talents and things. And we talked about being a servant. If someone is a servant to a master, what does that mean? And somebody said, well, it's, you know, first of all, he's our Savior. Okay, that's the starting point. And then they said, he is your master. He is your Lord. And then somebody used a word that was very descriptive. He is your boss. Okay? And not in a mean sort of way. And I said, okay, right. Now, first of all, now how do we do that? How is it that we, again, this process of progressive sanctification? And somebody said, I drew a line, here's your life, here's your death, and I put a cross, here's where you trust Christ as your Savior. Now, how do you do this? And they said, well, you make a decision, you know, basically when you get saved. Okay, that's a starting point. We make a decision to first of all trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. We talked about it. I said that is the act of justification. We get that legal standing that we are not guilty before God because of what Christ did for us. A one-time event, one-time decision. I said, now what should happen after that? We talked about, you know, as you go throughout your life, from the time you're saved until the time that you die, what should be happening? We talked about how there should be this progression. You know, it's going to have its peak. It's going to have its peaks. It's going to have its valleys. But it should kind of almost look like the stock market. Okay, ups and downs, and it just keep. But it just there's a continual rise. And I said, now what? And what should happen along that line? You made a decision here. What happens here? Continual decisions. Continual, as the Lord tells you, here is how you should live. Here is what you should do. There are more and more decisions for God, for Christ, for His Word, what He instructs us to do. And again, that idea of progressive sanctification on a daily basis, growing to become more and more like Jesus Christ. But God says the way that this happens, it is through His Word. Thy Word is truth. Just on a side note, when the children's choir was singing the other night, and they were singing "God So Loved the World," my first thought was, you know, there are some adult choirs that don't tackle that from a choir perspective. But I sat there, and as they were singing, you know, you're listening to John 3:16, and I looked up here, and I looked as they were finishing up, "Thy word is truth." They're singing truth, and God says, along that line of your life, as you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and we've done that through the truth, He says, if you want to become more and more like your Savior, more and more like Jesus Christ, it is through the truth. It is through our continual exposure to the Word of God. And hopefully that's why you're here tonight. Hopefully you're not here, again, just out of duty or just to show up. Hopefully you're here tonight because, you know what, Lord, I want to have a relationship with you. I want to know more about you. Hope that's why you come on Sundays and you come to Sunday school. Because you want, hope that's why you have your daily time with God. Because you want to know more and more about your Savior and you want to become more and more like Jesus Christ. You know, one of the more popular programs that you find out on the internet or that you find people have nowadays are things like MapQuest. You know, you want to get somewhere nowadays, people get on MapQuest. How do I get there? They type into MapQuest. Here's my home address. Here's where I want to go. Boom. Why is it that we go to MapQuest? Why is it that I don't have my phone with me. Why is it that some of you on your phone, you have a map program? Why is it that some of you in your car, you have a Garmin? Or you have some sort of GPS device? Why is that? Someone tell me. Why do you have those tools? Because you want to
get there the fastest, the correct way.
You want to get there the correct way. I remember one time I tried this. I used to have a little map program on my phone, and we had a couples retreat up in, is it Delavan? How do you pronounce that? Wisconsin? I took that from our house where we were living. I had that thing sitting on my lap or on the dash. That thing drove me all the way to Wisconsin. 2 hours. It was great. But you have those little programs. Why? Because you want to find out how to get from point A to point B. And for those of you who are here tonight, some of you may be asking yourself, how is it that I can grow to be more like Christ? How is it that I can witness to somebody? How is it that I can have victory over my anger, over my lust, over my bitterness, over my selfishness? How is it that I can have joy? How is it that I can have peace? This is your MapQuest. This is your Garmin. This is your VZ Navigator. Pick, call it whatever you want. This is it right here. God says, I've given you the roadmap. Turn, if you will, over to Psalm 1. Psalm 1 says to us this in the first three verses. Blessed or happy, and not in a goofy way, but blessed or happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall not prosper. And then if you just look at the first few words of the next verse, the ungodly are not so. Or the one who doesn't take into account the word of God, the one who doesn't meditate on his counsel day and night, the ungodly are not so. As you go throughout Scripture, there's a divine law there. It goes all the way back to the children of Israel. Right before they went into the promised land, God said to them, if you will do these things, blessed you will be in this, and blessed you will be in this, and blessed you will be in this, and blessed you will be in this. But then on the flip side, he says, but if you don't do these things, cursed you will be, cursed you will be, cursed you will be, cursed you will be. And the divine law is this. If we obey God and we follow his word, God says, things will go well with you. Now, again, that's not to say we're going to be healthy and wealthy and wise and have Rolexes on our hands and Corvettes in our garage. But it says you will be blessed. You will be happy. You will be at peace in the right ways. But the Bible says if you don't do these things, as the book of Proverbs says, the way of the transgressor is hard. And that's for us folks. The Bible says if we do these things, happy we will be, blessed we will be. But if we don't do these things, the way of the transgressor is hard. Christ, and again, in that earthly prayer, he prayed for us again, first of all, three things. Keep them together, unity. Keep them pure, purity. Keep them growing, sanctification. Now let's look at the last thing. Turn back to John 17 and we'll finish up with this. And I think this is the most exciting part of the whole prayer. He prayed for unity. He prayed for purity. He prayed for sanctification on our part. But then we get to John chapter 17, verse 24, and he says this, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." He prayed for unity, he prayed for purity, he prayed for sanctification, and the last thing then he prayed for, bring them to me. Perseverance. Bring them to me. Again, it's very simple and it's very clear what Christ here says. Christ, more than anything, wants you and wants me as his as believers to be with him forever. More than anything else. Again, that's what the Bible is all about. The Bible is all about relationship. Again, Adam and Eve, God created Adam and Eve. Perfect relationship, perfect harmony, perfect fellowship. And then they disobeyed and they ate of that fruit and that relationship was broken. And God could have justly so cast them into the pit of hell and just said, "I'm done. You disobeyed, I'm done." But he didn't do that. He made a plan, and it started there in the book of Genesis, and it goes all the way through the book of Revelation. He began starting to reveal a Redeemer. A Redeemer who would come, and as he works his way through the Old Testament, he reveals a little more of what he's going to be like. A little more of what he's going to be like. A little bit more of what he's going to be like. He'll be of this tribe. He's going to have these qualities. He's going to be born in this place. You're going to look for him here. He'll be wrapped in swaddling clothes. He'll be in a manger. This is where you'll find him. And the Bible is all about relationship. It's not so much us seeking for him, as I heard someone say one time, it is God seeking us. And he did that through his Son, Jesus Christ. And again, most of all, he wants us to be with him. And this is what makes heaven so sweet, and on the same side makes hell so horrifying. As you look at what the Bible says about heaven, again, it's a place of joy, it's a place of peace, it's a place of relationship. People that have died and gone on, we'll see them again. But most of all, we'll see our Savior and be able to fellowship with Him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But on the flip side of that, it talks about hell being a place that is dark. Hell being a place of solitude. Hell being a place of eternal separation from God forever and ever and ever and ever. And I'd like to say I know all of our hearts tonight. But there may be even just one person here in this room tonight. And maybe either you know you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're not sure, maybe if you know Him as your Savior. You have questions about it. If that is your case, would you seek someone out here who you know knows Jesus Christ as their Savior? Talk to Pastor Schlegel. I'd be willing to sit down with you. And if you're that person tonight, God is seeking you. And He wants to have that relationship with you through Jesus Christ and through what He did for you on the cross. Again, Christ's earthly prayer. He prayed for us four things. He said, "Father, keep them together. Keep them unified. Father, keep them pure. Purity. Father, keep them growing. Sanctification. And then lastly, Father, bring them to me. Perseverance." My former pastor who was in Greenville, who has served in a little church for, goodness, probably 30-some years, probably hasn't had in that church over those 30-some years, probably more than 30, maybe 40 people, regular attenders and members. But one of the things that he said one time, and I wrote it in one of my Bibles, as he was preaching from John 17, he said, "It is not often that we get to hear someone's prayers. It is not often that we get to hear someone's prayers." And we can learn a lot from hearing a godly person pray. Folks, that prayer, part of that prayer that Christ prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane was for you and for me. Unity, purity, sanctification, perseverance. How are you doing in those particular areas? If there's some area where you're struggling in those areas, just maybe as you come before the Lord in prayer tonight, would you talk to Him about that? Would you make that right with Him? If you need to make it right with somebody else, do that. Because again, if those things were important enough for Christ's final earthly prayer, then they're important enough for our life's effort. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for, again, the privilege and the opportunity that we've had to look into Your Word tonight. Heavenly Father, again, we are thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ and that You loved us so much that You sent Him to be our Savior on the cross. And Lord Jesus, we do thank You that as You were here on this earth, You showed us what God is like in every way. And Lord Jesus, we are thankful that You love us and You were so concerned about us that You prayed for us in that garden. And again, Lord, I pray that You would help us as a church body here, that we would be unified, that we would be pure, that we would be sanctified, we would be growing. And that together, we as a church body, again, would persevere and that we would have a joyous reunion in heaven with You one day as we are brought together with You. So Lord, I pray You help us now as we come before You in prayer, as we bring our cares, our requests, our praises to You. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.